This is a special edition of The Bill Good Show, preparing for an emergency. Now, here's your host, Bill Good.
In our continuing look at disaster planning, today we focus on the terrorist threat and what to plan for. Wesley Wark is a professor of international relations in the Monk Center for International Studies at the University of Toronto. Professor Wark, hello.
Hi, Bill.
It's been 5 years since 9/11. Canada's not been hit by terrorist activity since 9/11, at least not at home. Are we still at risk?
I think we have to assume we are. We can't do any more than that. We can't say anything more definitive than that. We can't deny the possibility. We can't, on the other hand, go to the other extreme and say we're certainly at risk or something is bound to happen, as some officials in Ottawa would do. So I think we're just in that kind of gray area where we have to say something could happen. The war on terror, as a kind of global confrontation, continues. Certainly, other allies of Canada, not just the United States, Britain, other countries that we're close allies with, have been hit since September 11th. It's very difficult to know really whether we're on any group's radar screen in terms of direct attacks in Canada. I think the greater likelihood is that Canada remains, to some degree or another, a kind of site for planning and recruitment. That's probably the real danger. Not necessarily that there will be some spectacular attack here, but rather that Canada could be used by terrorist groups to plan for attacks elsewhere.
Brian Hay is chair of the advisory board of the McKenzie Institute, and he joins us now. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. What would you say to what Wesley Wark just said?
Well, I'd agree with him 100%, but I'd probably go 10% further. I agree certainly with what the professor has said with respect to Canada both being a recruiting ground and a launching ground. We've known this for years, for example, that with groups such as the Tamil Tigers that they have been recruiting and financing here, we know that in certain other of the more extreme Islamic groups have been doing the same. We know that a number of Canadian citizens who were either born or who were raised here have participated in activities of what is described internationally and agreed to internationally as a terrorist activity, have in fact come from Canada, although they've done it elsewhere. We've also seen things like our Mr. Rassam, who you folks in BC have some really good proximate relationship with, attempt to develop a bomb in Canada that was made in Canada in an attempt to smuggle it across the border. I think the professor is right when he says that we haven't really directly experienced it in connection with the current hostilities here, and primarily those that seem to be related to Islamic interests or Middle Eastern interests. We haven't been on the receiving end of that. Certainly, we have been with the Air India tragedy, and that was generated in Canada and for all intents and purposes occurred here. It was only a question of where the explosion occurred. There have been issues with respect to our own domestic terrorism in terms of the FLQ. There was a number of years ago a Turkish member of the Turkish diplomatic service that was assassinated in Ottawa. So we are not without our history of it. Currently, we have not suffered at the hands of any of the current sort of international terrorist forces. But I think we also have to keep in mind three key points. First of all, we are on the list enunciated, articulated by Osama bin Laden, that in point of fact that we are a country which he has focused his attention on. Secondly, we have personnel in a number of the situations around the world, and in particular in Afghanistan, that are not there in what we would call a traditional peacekeeping role. They're much more active. It's military enforcement. It's reconstruction of a regime there in an attempt to revitalize a country. And we are performing military tasks and acting in combat roles against these very sources of instability and terrorism. And the third thing I think we have to keep in mind is that as the United States hardens up its own borders, in turn, we become a more attractive target. We are an ally of the United States. Our economy is tied intimately into that of the United States. And many Americans live here. Many American businesses have branch offices here, major branch offices here, including the oil industry. And under those circumstances, those are all inviting targets, especially if they're easier to get at than others south of the border.
All right. Before we get to a break, I want to bring Gordon Redman into the conversation. He has a Bachelor of Science degree in Emergency Administration and Disaster Planning. Mr. Redman, good morning.
Good morning.
How does one plan for the unknown? We know, and are probably more convinced than ever, having listened to my first two guests, that a terrorist attack is a real possibility. How do emergency planners prepare for something, sometime, somewhere?
Well, that's a very good question, and I've been asked that question a lot by many people. If you're going camping, you don't know what sort of hazards that you're going to face, but you certainly would want to get a book or learn about all the techniques and all the things that you could do in the forest. You want to look at the areas where you're going to go. You want to look at equipment that you would want to take. You want to look at similar histories of that kind of thing. Once you gather that all together, because the threat of terrorism is sort of, as the professor outlined, is an asymmetric threat, you never really know, you know, where it's actually going to come about. So the only thing that we can do is sort of start with our own lives and our own families and sort of expand out and sort of make sure that at least we know where our families are and what we're doing at any one time. And when we look at a recent study put out by KPMG last year, terrorism is only about 4% of the total business interruptions that occur for an organization. So when you look at what the number one incident, what would you think would be the number one event that would disrupt an organization?
Health. Poor health of employees.
Well, it's actually a power outage.
Really?
So from an emergency management perspective, when we're looking at the community as a whole, if you're prepared for a power outage, you know, statistically, you're prepared for about 50% of the potential disruptions that you'll have for your day. And when you look at terrorism, it is very important. And behind the scenes, you know, as the police and the international service agencies are working diligently in order to connect the global approach to terrorism, you know, we really have to keep that in perspective, that it is important that we do that.
But if you prepare for an earthquake, if you have good earthquake preparedness, doesn't that also make you much better prepared if there's a terrorist incident?
Exactly. Actually, you can even step it back further. If you have a good evacuation plan for your office, then you would be just as prepared as they were at 9/11. Because after those planes hit, they had no idea what it was, but they knew that they had to get out of the building. And it's a very good thing to do. So what I'm looking at is, you know, we just sort of collect all of these hazards, we put them in a box, and then we all try and collectively develop mitigation programs for communities so that collectively, same as with the environment, we can look to the long term, you know, 10, 20 years down the road.
Back with more from my guests as we look today at emergency preparedness focused on potential terrorist activity. You're with Bill Good on the Chorus Radio Network. We will include your calls, questions, comments, too. 604-280-9898. Toll free around the province of British Columbia, 1-877-399-9898. My phones are open to you.